So, just being invited to leave the meeting if I don't like it being recorded, but I'm not going to. Get to stay here. Hope you will all stay here too. So yes, big welcome. And going to introduce the theme, introduce the retreat, introduce the team, and any kind of practical things in the first part of this evening. And then we're going to go into an evening of practice, which will start with the dedication ceremony and call and response. And then Paramananda will be leading us in meditation and the Amitabha mantra. And Amitabha does seem very appropriate given that this is a meditation retreat and also with the theme of the heart and the mandala of the heart. So if you don't know me, I'm Bodhi Leela, and based at West London Buddhist Centre, where I do various things, do quite a lot of teaching, but I'm also chair. And then, okay, someone still can't hear me, so. Oh. Is that any better? Can you hear me now? Okay. Or is this better? Anyway, trying my best, and I hope by the end of this evening I'll have kind of reached what exactly is the best way of doing it. If not, I'll play about with it off site when you're not here and try and get it worked out. Anyway, sorry about that. So yeah, so very big welcome. And maybe it'd be just good for other people on the team to introduce themselves. So, Paramananda, do you want to just say hi?
Yeah, hello, Paramananda. I've been doing these online retreats for West London about the last year and a half. And as Bodhi Leela said, this is our third one of the sort of series. We'll say a bit about the theme in a minute. I don't know what to say about myself. I've been involved with leading retreats for the last 30 years or so. And I think over the years, it's become really the sort of principal activity that I do, really, it's the main thing I do. Usually in person, but obviously the last year and a half has been a bit different. Very happy to be here with you and hope we have a good week.
Okay, Praninita, do you want to say anything?
You suddenly got a lot louder, by the
Yes, I worked out that Zoom was still going through my laptop's
Yeah,
microphone, so I've just changed the setting.
I did wonder. Anyway, good.
Praninita.
So, hello everyone. So I'm Praninita and I'm in the background. So I'm serving Paramananda and Bodhidila and all of you from behind, should we say. So I'm basically on the tech, making sure we've got recordings and we let people in. And if you arrive and drop out, then you still can come in again. So yeah, and otherwise I'm based around the center doing some teaching and making sure we can make changes, whatever the COVID announcements are at the time. So, very warm welcome to everyone.
Okay. And Pranyanita is also going to be like our retreat organizer. So if you email into the address that was given in your email, or you post something in the chat, or you want to contact one of us, then she can she will respond to you and try and sort it out as best she can. So I thought I'd just say a little bit about being on an online retreat. So I know some of you are regulars and old hands at this, but there may be some people who haven't been on an online retreat before, and it is very different. I just a couple of weeks ago went on my first in-person retreat for, well, almost 2 years, I think, actually. And we had a few days as a team just having a retreat amongst ourselves, and then we led a weekend retreat. And it was so nice getting out of London and being at a retreat centre and a shrine room and doing all those things, like just hanging out on the sofa, having a cup of tea and a chat, or chopping veg or washing up, and all those sorts of things that we don't actually get to do on an online retreat. So it's amazing that we can still go quite deep, and there can still be a real sense of connection with the people that we are practicing with during this time. We are coming together as a retreat community in the same way that we did would on an in-person retreat. And this particular group of people are here for this retreat, and then it'll never be this particular combination again. So just as with any other retreat, we want to just sort of be as present as we can and be as kind and mindful of each other as we can when we're having any kind of shared spaces like groups and things like that. And just showing up and practicing, we're supporting each other, you know, so we are actually actively supporting each other's practice just by joining in, as well as having other people to help support us in our practice. So there's technical things about being on an online retreat that you have to do it through a device, whether that's a phone or a tablet or a laptop or a computer. So it's very easy. You just click on the link and then you're in this virtual space. So there's no transition in the same kind of way there would be in an in-person retreat, where you've had to sort of probably spend the night before or the earlier that day packing, and then you have a whole journey to the place and kind of arriving and getting your bed together and all that kind of stuff. So that all kind of things that help you to arrive before you actually start the retreat. Whereas here you can be dashing about, you sit down and you click on the link, and then you're suddenly here. So I would suggest that during the retreat, if you are able to build in a little bit of time before each session, if it's just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and sit quietly or have a cup of tea before you do that, then that might be helpful. And also, if you can, a bit of time at the end of the session, so you don't just end the session and then dash off and get really busy or stuff. And I'm aware that for some people, they may have been able to clear time away and make this actually like having a week of space and do the retreat as a retreat. Other people, you may be doing it alongside work and other commitments. And we do, and you may be that you have to miss a session. So just to let you know that we are having a website where there will be recordings of each session posted, and that should happen either late that night or the next day, with the exception possibly of Wednesday, just because Pascal, who's doing it, is going to be working all day on Wednesday and evening. But then that'll be up on Thursday. So if you've missed something or you want to go over something again, the resources will be there available as sound recordings or as video recordings, and we'll also be posting up readings and poems that are used during the retreat. And the site will be there after the retreat's ended for you to go back to as a resource. And I maybe Pranyanita tomorrow will post it in the chat as well in case people can't easily access it from the emails, but it should be in the email that you received just before. Yeah, so if you're not used to being on Zoom, yeah, it's probably good to get to each session maybe 5 minutes just because there can be problems. And yeah, if you do find yourself falling out, just try and come back in again and we'll see that you're trying to come back in and Pranyanita will let you back in. And if you are not familiar with Zoom, when you've got your screen up, and I know it's different on phones and tablets, but somewhere on it, you'll have the option of muting yourself or unmuting yourself, of stopping your video or putting the video back on. So do feel free to switch the video off, particularly like if you're meditating or if you don't want to be seen, you just want to be a bit quiet. Though it is nice if you do feel able to, especially in the groups, if you can at least let people see your face, even if you then take the screen off again later. Have some self-metta, looking after yourself during the retreat as well, and working out what you need to do. So it may be that when you're doing the meditations, you might want to lie down, or we will be doing some lying down meditations, or you need to just adjust yourself and just feel free to do that. When we're doing rituals or mantras, we kind of, yeah, it's probably best if you mute yourself because of the lag in different people's internet connections can make it a bit chaotic. Anyway, we'll try that a bit later. So I think pretty much you'll just get the hang of it. You know, there's a bit at the bottom where you can post messages in the chat, either to everyone or to the hosts or co-hosts, which will probably be me and Pranyanita. And I think along the way, you'll probably just pick up anything you need to. So that's the sort of practical stuff. Anything you want to add, Pranyanita?
No, but the links are already in the chat. So both for the email and for the recordings.
Okay, so we will probably finish a little bit earlier than 8:30, and I'm sure no one's going to complain about that because you're probably nice to have an early night. But basically, we'll probably have about an hour now of, Paramananda is going to introduce us to the theme. So Paramananda, over to you.
Thank you, Padarela. Yeah. For quite a long time now, I've been increasingly interested in the heart, both in an imaginal way as a kind of metaphor, but also as a physical location. I think over the last 10 years, there's been a lot of very interesting research into the heart as a physical organ. And it's, it seems that the heart plays a much more important role in our mental life than we've previously understood. Well, I say we've previously understood. Of course, we've already on a mythical and imaginal and folk level, we've always kind of known that the heart was not just a pump, or it's not just about pumping blood around our body, but played some kind of emotional and even intelligent, had a sort of intelligence, you know, It's deeply embedded in our language, isn't it? And evidently, this is also physiologically or scientifically the case. In particular, the heart as an organ is the organ in the human body that's most sensitive to electromagnetic fields. And everything living has an electromagnetic field. You could say it's the it's how life shows itself in a way. And some animals, I think mostly fish, certain fish have an organ that all it does is to detect electromagnetic fields. But I think it's also true that all mammals have some sensitivity to them. And this probably doesn't surprise us when we think of domestic animals that we know, dogs, maybe horses, things like this, that seem to be very sensitive to our mood. The chances are that they're sort of sensing into our electromagnetic field. Human beings too are sensitive to electromagnetic fields, although we might not be consciously aware of it. When we go for a walk in the woods, one of the reasons we enjoy that is that it has we pick up the electromagnetic fields of all those trees. Evidently, it has a kind of calming and relaxing effect on our own kind of energetic bodies. And of course, within most spiritual traditions, and particularly in Buddhism, the heart has also been understood as a kind of seat of the mind. The mind wasn't thought to be located in the head, but it was more often identified with the heart, or at least the kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge or insight was associated with the heart. Just as, of course, love and courage and many other human qualities are associated with the heart. I was particularly struck, I think, when being taught the Metta Bhavana. At some point I realized that the heart was not mentioned. It all seemed to be about cognitive thinking. And anyway, this and many other things have made me over the years become more and more interested in trying to place the heart at the kind of center of our practice, in a both a, mainly in an imaginal way, but more recently in a physical way, believing that the heart probably has its own type of consciousness. So the title of the retreat is a mandala of the heart. So a mandala, of course, represents a kind of organizing principle, or you could even say a kind of map or a symbol, sometimes quite often of the universe, sometimes of the human body. But most of it sort of represents the ordering of things, sometimes the relationship between the earthly and the heavenly. In Buddhist art, of course, we get these mandalas. And these mandalas normally have a central figure, often white, not always, but often white. And the other figures are brought into relationship around this central figure. Of course, Carl Jung became very interested in mandalas as symbols of integration, psychic integration, and pointed out that they appear in one form or another in all human cultures. So I from a meditative point of view, I began to feel that the heart should be the kind of organizing principle of our meditation, if you like, or of our psyche. The psyche is formed around this idea of the heart, which of course in Buddhism represents both compassion and wisdom. You could say are the twin forces or two sides of the enlightened mind, if you like. Two principal ways of understanding the enlightened mind through compassion and wisdom. And both of these qualities are very strongly associated with the heart. So in this retreat, really, we're just going to be playing with the idea that we can recenter our consciousness from the ego consciousness, which I think most of us probably imagine in a sort of brain, and that we can imaginatively move. So rather than having the brain as a sort of organizing principle of our consciousness, we replace it or we remember the heart as the core of our consciousness or the organizing principle of our consciousness. And for doing this, we can imagine our own body, and particularly our energetic body, and particularly our psychic body. We can imagine our own body as a kind of mandala that can be brought into order or brought into relationship. The diverse parts of ourselves can be brought into relationship through allowing the heart to become the organizing principle or the ruling principle. I quite like to think of the heart as a kind of king or queen, as a kind of ruler, and which brings in the rest of ourselves into order around it. Yeah. So, and of course, this archetype of the sun, is another kind of mandala archetype in a way in which the planets, the different aspects, orbit around. So we'll be using the sort of heart as both as a metaphor, but also as a kind of practical I want to say geography of our own psychic body. Yeah, trying to begin to imagine ourselves as actually radiating from the heart. Yeah, so it'll be a shift from the cognitive to the imaginal. Anyway, these are what was in my mind when I chose that title. And it seemed a nice way of bringing these series of these three retreats to a kind of conclusion. So we'll be seeing how that unfolds over the next week together. Probably enough to say. Don't worry if you didn't understand any of that. I'm not sure that I understand any of it, but in a way, maybe that's the point, isn't it? That maybe we can have, maybe meditation isn't really about understanding anything at all. It's much more about feeling into our being, you know, feeling into what it is to be here in the world, rather than some kind of intellectual understanding. So we'll be looking at these sort of ideas or these kind of approaches and seeing what we can make of them. I'll leave it there, Bodhilea.
Thank you, Paramananda. And I think you've really already got my imagination going and setting the scene, and I'm feeling even more anticipation of the coming week. Yes. Okay, so let's just have a little pause, and if you want to get yourselves into whatever position you like to be when you're practicing, we're going to do a dedication ceremony and call and response. So I'll be speaking the line, and then Paramananda will. And again, that's another sort of symbol or metaphor doing ritual in call and response. It's not just that we're being parrots and I'm saying the words so you know what to say, but it's very much the idea of you hear the call and you respond. Something in you is touched and you want to, yeah, you want to respond. So it's sort of connecting us with Shraddha and faith and what's meaningful. So in this case, the dedication ceremony, we often use it at the beginning of a retreat or creating a particular ritual, sacred space, and dedicating it in terms of our intentions and our purpose. So we're dedicating it to the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, and the Buddha as sort of, in a way, an example or embodiment of an enlightened being, and where we could potentially also become Buddhas, and the Dharma, the teachings, the practices that we have passed down from the Buddha to help us to do that. And then also the truth and reality is another understanding of Dharma. And then we've got the Sangha, or the spiritual community, both of enlightened beings and the aspiring Sangha, which is what we are practicing together, supporting each other along the way. So in the dedication ceremony, most of it is sort of fairly self-evident, but it does have references to, well, the imagery of the mandala. We've got the lotuses, which are a symbol of growth, enlightenment. And we've also got the vajra, which is another symbol of reality and enlightenment. It's supposed to be, we got vajra, Andy. I will get one in a minute. But yes, it's a diamond thunderbolt that's supposed to be indestructible. It can cut through anything, but it's indestructible. So there's a certain point where there's the idea of being surrounded by lotuses, being surrounded by vajras, and also by flames and fire. It's very much a symbol of transformation and change. So in our imaginations, we're creating these protective walls of the lotuses and the vajras and the flames. And then in the center of the mandala, here we are practicing together, and we'll be practicing together during the week. So we'll do the meditation ceremony, and then Paramananda will be leading us in meditation and mantra. I'm not sure which way round he's going to do them, but that's what we'll be doing. And basically we'll be ending there. So have a switch from the sort of cognitive and talking, maybe being in a bit more thinking mode of mind, and hopefully through doing the ritual and through doing some practice and some mantra chanting, that'll help us get more in that embodied state of just being, yeah, being with the heart, being with whatever's arising in our experience right now, individually and collectively. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech, and mind.
With body, speech, and mind.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat. Okay, we're going to start by chanting the Amitabha Mantra. Obviously, you're going to be muted, so you can just join in. One of the advantages of doing Zoom retreats, so both of an advantage and disadvantage, but in some ways, it's quite interesting from a chanting point of view, because you're probably sitting alone. And so you don't have to worry about what you sound like. Nobody but yourself will be able to hear you. And what I want you to try and do is just chant it in a nice, relaxed kind of way, just using your sort of natural voice. So we're not singing. And try and keep your face really soft. We're just trying to let our face be soft and let the mantra be easy. We're going to chant it 108 times. If you're not used to chanting mantra, that might sound like a lot, but it's quite a short mantra. It won't take very long, about 10 minutes. Don't push too hard. On the other hand, just see if you can just enjoy it. And we're using mantra both because of its devotional aspect, but also because of its physiological aspect as a way into the body, into finding space and relaxation in the body. I'll say more about this as the retreat goes on. Okay, but I don't want to go on about it now, but as I say, just try and keep the posture, keep the face relaxed. Just join in as you will. If you can hear anything coming through, my neighbours are playing music, reggae. Maybe just take one or two slightly deeper breaths before we start, in through the nose and out through the mouth, just to kind of refresh the body and help the posture to loosen a bit. And as we chant, just be aware of the internal vibrations in your body as well as the sound coming from your mouth into the world. Om Amideva Ri. 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 Brahmini Devari. Om Amidevari. 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 Om Deva. Just staying with your breath, fella. Staying with your breath as it settles. Knowing when you're breathing in, knowing when you're breathing out, through the felt experience of breathing, physical experience of breathing, your body moving around your in-breath and your out-breath, lifting your chest, all of your chest, movement in your upper back, find your scapula, broadening of the back, as you breathe in, relaxing of the shoulders back towards the spine as you breathe out. Movement of the diaphragm. Sensations in the belly. Come into the direct experience of breathing, not just an idea about breathing. As you breathe in and out, have a gentle idea of allowing your face to soften. Breathing in, softening your face. Breathing out, softening your face. Breathing in, relaxing your legs. Breathing out, relaxing your legs. Breathing in, feeling the full length of your back. So breathing in the way of your body, breathing out. Going to start to notice where the breath takes us into our body, how the breath takes us into the heart center, the heart with the two, our lungs draped around the heart there, and just letting the in breath to your center, your heart center. A sense of releasing from that center as you breathe out. So we're kind of gathering to the center as we breathe in. And releasing from the center as we breathe out. And the sense of the world outside ourselves. Breathing in. Having a sense of our inner world, breathing out. As we breathe in, just playfully imagine gathering the world to your heart, all the people, all the trees, all the animals, all life, gathering it. Your heart, and then releasing from your heart back out into the world. And we gather the world, and we release into the world as we breathe in and out. Nice soft face and hand. We have some awareness of the world around us. Just feeling into how the breath connects our inner world and our outer world. How this inner and outer porous extent that we gather the world to the heart, we become intimate with the world. Not really asking you to think about it, just feel it. It's your breathing body in this world. And when you breathe in, you draw in the world into yourself. the heart of yourself. And when you breathe out, you release yourself into the world. You release your heart into the world. Soft face, just enjoying breathing in the world, allowing your body to enjoy breathing in the world. I just noticed in what you're doing, noticing what's happening. Before we finish, let's see if we can have a sense of one another. We're separated in space. As you breathe in and out, just imagine some connection from your heart. The other people sitting aware of their hearts and their breath. Even though we are separated, you would like to offer them your support. What would that feel like? What would it feel like to allow yourself to be supported? Your support and feel supported as you breathe in and as you breathe out. Imagining a kind of energetic connection from your heart. Some mysterious way your heart can be aware. An awareness based in a feeling, a sensation. Rather than just an idea. Your face relax. So we'll leave it there for this evening and look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. Have a good